having the right people around me, whether those are mastermind groups, whether those are coaches, whether that's Ironman and making sure you have training partners, or whether that's collaborators in real estate. Like, real estate is a team sport.
Hello, and thank you for joining us today on the Gentle Art of Crushing It show, where we focus on learning and sharing with our listeners all there is to know about how to create success in our lives. This show stands on the shoulders of giants. Our mission is to empower and inspire our listeners to create the life of their dreams whilst having a blast in the process. Let's celebrate life together. Welcome to the show.
Hello and welcome to today's episode of the Gentle Art of Crushing It podcast. My name is Nathan with Undoor Properties and I am your Monday host. I'm one of four or five hosts who bring you conversations three times a week on a variety of topics around real estate, business, and personal motivation. Our goal with this podcast is to help you succeed in whatever target you're aiming at. We're all committed to finding the best and the brightest people who aren't just talking about doing big things, but are actually taking the steps to achieve their dreams and wanting to help others along the way. And today's guest, Matt Foray, is no different. He's such an inspirational individual, has a fantastic story to share from competing in Ironmans, having a full-time job, being a husband, a parent, also finding success in real estate. We hope you'll enjoy this conversation with Matt, and let's just hop right in. I am super excited about this conversation in particular because you and I share kind of the tech background, and we're going to get into that, I'm sure, as well as being, you know, full-time employees and doing a whole lot of other things, from parenting to trying to be good partners slash husbands in my case, and podcasting and doing a whole lot of other endeavors on the side. So I hope we can hop into that. But before we do that, why don't you kick us off with who is Matt?
Sure. So Matt Foray, based out of Nashville, Tennessee, partner at Next Level Income. We are a private equity real estate syndication company, which essentially means we just help individual investors invest in cash flowing real estate so that they can get cash flow appreciation and tax benefits. How I got into real estate, though, is I've been in technology sales and sales leadership for roughly 15 years. And a company I used to work for, we won a life-changing deal. $10 million net new logo, competitive rip-out, all those sorts of good things that get you going as a sales professional. And Nathan, I saw the check that I was going to receive, and my eyes got really wide on, like, what am I going to do with this? I grew up in a rural, poor town of coal mining town in eastern Tennessee, and so I've never been big into houses, cars, watches, shoes, all those sorts of things. So I was looking at, like, how could I invest in this? And I looked at stocks, I looked at crypto, I looked at annuities, bonds, all those sorts of things. And fortunately, I had a mentor at the time that was like, hey, you should check out this real estate thing. Gives you cash flow, it appreciates, got some tax benefits. He owned Free and Clear at the time, and I was like, sure, let's take a look at it. Well, then the turning point in the story happens when I got a call from my VP the week of Christmas, who told me I wasn't going to receive that commission check, that I was only going to get 2 cents on the dollar. And I was like, well, wait a minute. Like, how did...
That's a big difference. What happened there?
That's a big difference. Well, so I asked, I was like, how did we come to this number? And he was like, Matt, how much money have you made this year? And when I told him, he said, well, isn't that enough? And it was at that point I realized if I wanted to achieve the goals I had in my life, give back to the causes I cared about, and be intentional and spend time with the people that I love, that I was going to have to find a different way to secure my financial independence. So fortunately for me, I was already down this rabbit hole of real estate, and the rest, they say, is history. So that's kind of my story and my background.
Before we jump into the show, we wanted to let you know that this episode is brought to you by everyreitool.com. Every REI tool is the most comprehensive online catalog of resources for real estate investors and professionals. Whether you are looking for the best deal analyzer, the most loved syndication platform, fix and flip rehab calculators, dialers, lead generation solutions, rent collectors, or the next real estate book to read, every REI tool has it all. Quickly and easily find the best software, apps, services, books, podcasts, and courses to help accelerate and grow your real estate business by heading over to everyreitool.com. And don't forget to sign up to get exclusive product reviews, promos, and discount codes. everyreitool.com. Now, on to the show.
I love it. And you set me up with the perfect segue there, because one question I like to ask the people we have on the show here is what success means to you. And you touched on that a little bit. And maybe, I don't know, arguably more importantly, how has it evolved over time for you? Was success one thing, you know, years ago when you got into tech sales and it was just like a dollar number or something, and now it's something completely different? What does that mean? What does success mean to you today, and how did that evolve?
First of all, I absolutely love that question. And that's a question I typically ask people when I first meet them. But it's evolved from an ego-driven thing, a dollar amount, a net worth, a title, those sorts of things, to really, how do I view the world and how do I shape the world around me to achieve the way I want to live my life? So ultimately, that comes down to, I think, time freedom, having the time to go spend it the way you want to spend it. I think too often when we're talking about finances, we look at ROI as return on investment instead of return on intentionality. So how can I go be intentional with my time is the way I ultimately would define success.
I love it. And do you feel like you've reached that?
Not yet.
As of yet, or is it still a work in progress?
Still a work in progress. I think I'm a guy that's very driven, very goal-driven. Once I get to the top of a mountain, I want to go climb a bigger one, that sort of guy. So I don't think I'll ever be there, yeah. But I certainly feel like I'm marching down the path that I want to in my life after I found real estate and real estate investing.
And so what is one of your favorite success stories of yours, right, that you like to share with others?
So it's going to be outside of real estate. I'm an Ironman triathlete. So an Ironman, for those people who are listening.
Just Ironmans.
Yeah, just Ironmans. But for those listeners that might not know what that is, it's a 2.4-mile swim, 112-mile bike, 26.2-mile run, all in a single day, all in a single event. I don't know why I do it either. I'm just a glutton for punishment. But I remember when I first got involved in the sport, the world championships that year for the half distance was going to be in a place called Zell am See, Austria. And I know you are from that area of the world, so you probably know how beautiful that area of the world is. And when I saw that, it was going to be 2 days after my birthday that year. And I told my mom, I'm like, I'm going to win that trip. I'm going to qualify for that race, and I'm going to pay for my entire family to go. And it took a lot of blood, a lot of sweat, and even some tears along the way to make that happen. But ultimately, I qualified, got to visit paradise on earth and take my family. And so that's probably one of the most proudest, most successful moments I've ever had in my life.
I love that part of the world, and even more so that you were able to kind of make it a family trip, I guess, and a family shared experience, I think is maybe a better way to put it. What would you say were some of your favorite lessons learned kind of in that story that you just shared?
I think it's that you can't do it all yourself. So Ironman is a very selfish sport. You're spending hours on the bike by yourself. You're spending hours in the pool, hours running, let alone time to stretch, recover, go to and from places, all those sorts of things. And similar to real estate, it's a team sport. Like, you need those people around you that are going to help you, lift you up when you're feeling down, that can take stuff off your plate when you're feeling overwhelmed. And ultimately, in real estate, for example, bring a different set of skill set that you might not have. So I think it took me a while, really, in real estate to kind of understand that. And looking back on it, I would say the same in the Ironman journey, like getting the right coaching, making sure I was asking, being a part of the right groups that could help me with nutrition and just the little things that kind of round you out as an athlete.
So when's the next Ironman scheduled for?
none this year. We're recording in 2023. I got a lot on my plate right now, and I think we were chatting beforehand about kids' situations and all that.
Yeah.
But I am running the DC Marine Corps Marathon at the end of October. My goal is to hopefully qualify for Boston there. And on to the next thing. So anybody that's out in DC, I'll be coming that way at the end of October, and I'd love to meet up.
And then Boston, right? Because you're going to make the qualifiers. Right. So when's the Boston Marathon? Right.
It's in late April or like mid-April. Boston's a funny one because it's either like horrible weather, pouring down rain, 20-degree weather, or it's like perfect running weather, which is like that 50 degrees, a little bit of shade. Not too hot.
Yeah, I was there once in April, I think, and overnight we got like 3 feet of snow.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it's a fun place to be.
Right.
How about maybe the flip side to that, you know, same coin in question. How about like an incredibly maybe difficult time that you feel comfortable sharing with, you know, the audience, and how you kind of, what the time was, of course, and then how you kind of navigated that?
Yeah. So part of my story is I grew up dyslexic in a very small town, and my sister was mentally disabled. So when you kind of grow up in that environment, it helps frame what problems really are. And I heard this comment the other day that said, if money can solve your problem, you don't have a problem. And I thought that was a really interesting point, because the story that I tell is that my sister with Down syndrome, she was visiting my parents back in 2017, and ultimately she passed in their house while visiting at the age of 39. And, wow. You know, everybody always says this idea of like, life is short and you have to live for today and make sure you're present with those around you and be where your feet are, and all these cute sayings that you hear on the internet. And you're like, yeah, yeah, I get it. I understand. That makes sense. And you talk about it, but you don't really realize it until you wake up one morning and you get a call from your parents that your sister has passed in their house, like unexpectedly. No health issues, no anything going on, just went to bed one night and didn't wake up. Right after that too, my dad had to have triple bypass surgery. And that almost kind of broke us as a family, because, you know, you have this tragic incident, and then your dad has to have a huge open heart surgery, that it just kind of all happened within 7 or 9 months of each other, that just put everything in perspective around time and how I wanted to go use my time. So now that I'm saying it, it's funny how you said that about success and what my answer was. And now thinking back of like that year was a very challenging year. And that's probably why I changed my definition of success.
First of all, I mean, it started to hear that you had to go through that, right? And it's going to be a tough thing to kind of segue from. So I'm just going to, you know, hop in and, you know, wonder if you remember when, if it's like a moment in time or an event or it's something that happened to you that made you focus on time as being the main barometer of success, I guess. Curious if it says, I'm asking that particularly because I know what it is for me, and I still personally struggle a whole lot with time in general, because I'm excited to get to things in the future, but I'm also like, I don't want to go too fast because I don't want my kids to be moving out of the house. I love my kids when they're 5 and 4, but I'm excited to, you know, have them be teenagers. I'm always struggling with that kind of back and forth. So those are my problems. I'm curious to hear where you kind of shifted to time being a major component of your life.
I'll answer that question with a story real quick first. It's funny you said that. So we have a 5 and 7 year old. I did not sleep at all last night. I don't know why. I just kept waking up every 15 minutes, like one of those sleeps. And it was only like 6 hours because we had trouble putting them down last night. And then I'm an early riser. And as I'm sitting there, a 7-year-old comes in and like jumps on the bed, you know, knees me in the area you don't want to be kneed at 4 o'clock in the morning.
Of course.
And then just ultimately cuddles up. And it did shock me at that moment, thinking like, I can be frustrated because I haven't slept all this time and I just got kneed and all those sorts of things. But ultimately, like, that could be the last time that ever happens. We are starting to get to that age where he doesn't want to hold your hand anymore. He doesn't want to be picked up and all those sorts of things. So it's funny you mentioned that. But I would say that year, right? So sister passed, dad had triple bypass surgery. I remember listening to Jesse Itzler's talk around time you have with your family during that year. And he goes, you don't have 5 years left with your family or with your parents. You have a Christmas, a Thanksgiving, maybe a vacation, and some other odd time in the year. You have 20 different occasions where you're going to see them again for the rest of your life. And I remember hearing that, and that was so powerful at that moment because of everything that had happened in that year. And my mom and I were actually on a vacation together. I took her to Italy. And it just kind of hit me at that moment, like, they're right. I don't know how much time I will have in these moments. So make sure you enjoy it for the moment that you're in.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it's crazy. I remember hearing, and I can't remember exactly what the numbers are, but like this crazy stat, and this was, you know, a few years ago when our kids were even younger than they are now, but it's something like 80% of the time you're going to spend with your kids is between the ages of 0 and like 15 years old or something like that, because after all kind of stuff happens, and that hit me real hard. So I was like, that's going to become a priority for me, because I want to be here intentionally for that, well, 100% of the time, but obviously as much as I can while they're, you know, here and with us and in our homes and care about us. And as you mentioned, don't mind holding our hands and jumping in the bed and all this stuff.
Right. Like, I love playing with the kids. It's like one of my favorite things in the world is to shoot Nerf guns and, you know, play Barbies and do all those sorts of things just because it brings back the inner childhood to me and the inner goofy part. Until I don't, right? Until you have like a long day where you're just like, gosh, I just want to sit down and not be talked to or touched or feel and all those sorts of things. But I always have to snap myself out of it. Like, you never know when this is the last time they want you to go play Nerf gun wars with them and those sorts of things. Yeah. So
I'm curious if you could go back in time, Matt, what would you do differently?
In terms of what?
To maybe get to where you are now faster or, I don't know. What would you do differently? Because hindsight's easy, right? You know where you are now. You know what you want now. And that was different from what you wanted maybe a few years ago. What would you do differently if you could go back in time?
So, you know, I have to have a long-winded answer to this. But it goes back to where I believe we are in the world today is that if you take us back to the 1950s, you had to know all, be all, and only be able to sell or have a business around the people that you knew in your specific city. And so I think about, you know, those times, and then I contrast them with today. Today, we are a hyper-globalized world. I mean, you are on the West Coast. I am in Nashville, Tennessee. And here we are recording on video like we're in present. So I think the number one thing I failed at all the way until, and I still don't think I'm great at it, all the way until I was probably in my early 30s, was having the right people around me. Whether those are mastermind groups, whether those are coaches, whether that's Ironman and making sure you have training partners, or whether that's collaborators in real estate. Like, real estate is a team sport. Anytime you're taking down a $100 million property, it is not just the Nathan and Matt show. There are way more people involved in it than a lot of people understand. And how you get a part of those transactions and not only be a part of them, but how you make them successful depends on your network and depends on who knows you, not who you know, who knows you. So I think one of the things I wish I would have done when I was first graduating college was volunteer more, get involved in organizations in my community, make sure that people understood what my specific superpower skills were that I could bring to the world, and build my network that way. Instead, I tried to do a lot of it by myself and be a superhuman. And I think ultimately, like, that helped me get curious about other things and help round out my skill sets, but it didn't round out my network. And your network is how you accelerate fast, I think, in today's world.
100%. Couldn't agree more. And I mean, accelerating fast, you do a whole lot of stuff, Matt, right? You have your podcast, Next Level Income, full-time tech sales. You got two young kids. You obviously, I'm sure, try to be a good partner as well. You're an Ironman, you know, athlete. What else am I missing? Curious, how do you do it all? What's your key to success? How can you do all of these things successfully and not drop the ball? Or maybe you do, but how do you typically manage to pull all this out? Because I think that's something that our audience would be very interested in hearing.
Yeah, to say I do it successfully, I would argue. I feel like I do drop the ball a lot, and I'm missing parts of my life. But ultimately, one thing that's really helped me over the past 3 to 5 years here is time blocking and being very selfish with that time when it's blocked off. So for instance, I get up at 4 o'clock in the morning every single morning, which means, Nathan, I don't want to go out drinking beers tonight because I know I have that time blocked tomorrow and I'm not going to be able to show up. If I do show up, I won't be there intentionally. So what's helped me really succeed is I always pick times when I'm going to be doing those activities. So 4 o'clock in the morning, I wake up, I get my workout done. Don't try to call me after 6 p.m. during the weekday because that's time with the kids and I'm trying to be very intentional then. I usually pick out half a Sunday and I always do my catch-up work during that block. And then Saturdays are kids is family time. Like, I typically don't do anything work related on Saturdays because that is family time. So I think anybody that is really trying to accomplish something, pick your time when you're going to focus on that. and be very, very selfish and diligent about saying that is my time for this activity and nothing else competes with that. And if something else does compete with that, and if something else does intrude on that time, then maybe that's not the right priority for you. Maybe that is not the right thing you should be doing. Maybe whatever keeps impeding with that time should be your priority. So I don't know if that's a good answer, but that's kind of how I think about it.
Well, it's a great answer in the sense that, and maybe we're going a little meta here, but I'm curious if for you it is more about the time blocking, like you mentioned, or is it more a thing about, what's the best way to say, about being intentional in everything that you do, right? It's when I'm doing daddy time, that's what I'm doing, and nothing else disrupts that. When I'm working my W-2 job, I'm doing that, nothing more than that, nothing impedes on that, right? When I'm doing, you know, workouts or reading or whatever it is, you're just intentional about those time blocks.
Yeah, I think that's certainly a great observation. I had a mentor one time that said, Matt, I do not care about the outcomes of your decisions with how you run your little business more than I do were you intentional in your actions. So if you're intentional in your actions, like, no, I don't want this person involved in this project for one reason or another, and it turns out a failure, it's okay as long as you know why it was a failure. Like, being intentional on why you didn't want that person involved would be an example. That's probably not the best example, but I certainly think, like, my whole big message to anyone in life is you get one chance to be intentional, and people will remember that. I want them to remember me as the person that was where their feet were standing at that time, more than, you know, net worth goals or different things that I was able to achieve that are more vanity metrics than anything.
Yeah, no, I love it. And do you have a Matt pro tip to help people get started in kind of living their lives intentionally? What do you tell them when you meet these folks that are maybe, you know, glass half empty, and I wasn't, you know, dealt the right hand of cards, and it's not for me, and all of this stuff?
Yeah, there's really two keys that I have found in my life to being successful. The first is clarity. Before you enter anything, you need to know what your end goal is going to be. So Alice in Wonderland was like, if you don't know where you're going to go, any road will take you there. Another example of that is if you and I are in a car and I'm hungry and you have to use the bathroom, we're going to see different things, right? I'm going to see a McDonald's and you're going to see a rest stop. And so it's not that we're not traveling on the same road. It's not that we're not going the same direction. It's that we're looking for different things. So be very clear on what it is that you want your outcome to be, and you'll be surprised how many opportunities ultimately appear because you know what you're looking for. The second thing I would say is one of the things I love about Ironman is nobody was built to be an Ironman. Like, for all intents and purposes, LeBron James, I mean, 6'8", 225 pounds, solid muscle. He's worked his tail off, right? I'm not saying anything bad about him, but that dude was built to be an athlete, regardless if he played football or
basketball. What about the guy that ran 50 Ironman in, or 50 Ironmans, I guess? I don't know how you say it, in 50 days. What's his name again?
Yeah, Iron Cowboy.
Is it on Netflix or something like that?
Iron Cowboy. Yep.
Iron Cowboy. There you go.
Yeah.
He wasn't born for Iron Man.
I don't think so. I think whenever somebody, the problem that a lot of people face, including myself, is when you have a goal, you think about, you're at the starting line and you see the finish line and you don't know anything in the middle. And the one thing that I try to emphasize more in my life than anything else is consistency, because I believe that consistency will beat talent over the long run, as long as you give it enough time. So I can't tell you how long that time has to be. It might be 200 years and you know that you're not going to live for 200 years, but it would still beat it over the long run. So I always try to encourage people, once you're clear on knowing where you're trying to go and what you're looking for, then figure out what is the 5-minute task that you can do every single day religiously without interruption that gets you towards that goal, and just do that every single day. So if it's in real estate, maybe it's underwriting a deal. If it's in finance, maybe it's making different connections. Just pick that 1 5-minute task and be religious about doing it every day.
Yeah, 100%. I actually have right here under my screen a screen that flips different quotes. And one of those quotes is the stonecutter quote, where, you know, the stonecutter is banging on his rock, you know, 1,000 times a day forever. Nothing ever happens. And people question, you know, what the hell are you doing? And then on the 1,000th, you know, hit, the stone cracks, right? And that consistency is key.
Yep. Yep.
All right, Matt, I want to start getting you out of here. Be mindful and respectful of your time here. And I failed to kind of prep you on this before we hit record here, but do you have a book recommendation that you have for the audience? Something that's helped you kind of helped your mindset, maybe help you where you are today, helped you reach success. Sorry.
Yeah, a book I really love and I've gifted hundreds of times in my career is The Last Lecture by Randy Pausch. The Last Lecture, when you're going in academia and you're a professor or a teacher, you give a last lecture when you're retired. It's like, hey, remember that funny story when Nathan blew up the microwave doing something with fish? And remember this funny story, yada, yada. And here are the key lessons that I want you to learn as my last lecture to you when I'm retiring. Well, Dr. Randy Pausch is giving his last lecture, except for the fact that he's 37. He's going to die. He has pancreatic cancer. And he starts the book and the YouTube clip. So if you're not a reader, go watch the YouTube clip. I promise it'll be an hour worth of your time. But he starts it off with, don't be sad for me. I got to achieve everything I wanted to achieve in my life. And he just goes through these little stories about, you know, walls are not meant to keep you out. It's meant to keep others who don't want things as bad as you do out. So figure a way to go around them. Stories like his son spills a milkshake in his brand new car. And so what does he do? He takes his milkshake and spills it too, because he wanted to show his son that this doesn't matter. What matters is that you and I have a connection with each other, not that this brand new car you spilt something on, things like that. And the end of the story, just as a spoiler alert, is he goes, do you know who I'm giving my last lecture to? It's not to the audience. It's not to my faculty, to my students. It's to my kids, because I'm going to die and they will never remember me. So this is my last lecture to them. It's an inspiring book. The presentation on YouTube will make you laugh. It'll make you cry. And it'll really get you motivated.
Well, I got goosebumps just listening to you. So there you go. That's next on my list.
Yeah, there you go.
How about a piece of technology, a tool, software, something that just, you know, again, kind of helps you manage your life, reach success, something that just helps you in general?
Yeah, I'm on a big Notion kick right now. So maybe that's the best tool I can provide. Notion is a good task manager, note keeper, collaboration tool, pipeline builder, CRM, all those sorts of things. So
there's a lot of stuff.
Yeah, you shook your head vigorously when I said it. So maybe we'll nerd out offline about how you're using it, because there's so much you can do with it that it's almost overwhelming. But I'm starting to figure it out. I'm starting to get there.
Yeah, you got to start small with Notion is what I've come to kind of realize, is because you can do absolutely everything and they're really good at what they do. But if you start small and kind of build it for your life, I guess it can really solve most problems. Yep. So yeah, it's a great tool. I use it every day. Last question for you, Matt. How can our audience help you and reach out to you?
Two places. One, I host a podcast called Ice Cream with Investors. I'm just a fat man in a skinny man's body, and I love ice cream. So I figured that would be a good title for that. So go check us out on any of your podcast apps out there, Apple, Google, Spotify. It's called Ice Cream with Investors. Or if you want to book a time with us, with me, learn more about kind of the real estate investing we do and how we help passive investors on their way to financial freedom, check us out at nextlevelincome.com, nextlevelincome.com. There's a button in the right corner to invest. When you click that, it'll link you to my calendar, and we'll get connected from there.
Perfect. And as always, all of this stuff will be in the show notes, so make sure to check them out. Matt, thank you so much for your time. It was a pleasure, and hopefully we'll be tracking you all the way to the Boston Marathon.
Absolutely. Sounds good. Thanks. It was fun.
Thanks for joining us today and being part of our conversation. We hope you enjoyed it. And as always, we've gathered all of the important links from today's show and put them in the show notes. And now, if we could ask you for one favor, if you found any value in this content, if you could like, subscribe, comment, share with others, you can find us here 3 times a week, Mondays, Wednesdays, and Thursdays. We look forward to hosting some future fantastic guests and stories, and we'll talk to you on the next one.
Well, there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, another episode of The Gentle Art of Crushing It. It was an amazing episode. We know we sure learned a lot, and we hope you did as well. We want to take a second and thank you so much for viewing or listening to this episode. And please just know that we only ask for one favor, and that is to make this life magnificent. Thank you, and have a wonderful day.